Venerable sisters and brothers, dear parishioners, I would like to speak today about Our Lady of Fatima. And I know that we had just concluded our Fatima conference last weekend, and on Thursday we had a really great turnout for the downtown Rosary March in honor of Our Lady of Fatima. But it's occurred to me that I don't think I've ever given you a detailed description of the miracle of the sun. So what I want to do today, since we're only 3 days removed from that anniversary, the 94th anniversary of the miracle of the sun, I want to take you back to Cuba de Iria and help you feel like you were there and you saw the event, the miraculous event as it happened. Now, some may think that I've been speaking too often or very often about Our Lady. Notice I'm not talking about the epistle and gospel for today. But if there's anything we should know from St. Louis Marie de Montfort's teaching, and they are approved by the church and he's a canonized saint, that in our times, Mary must be more known and honored than ever before. And he lays out many reasons for this. Please read them for yourself. And what we do know is that whenever devotion to Mary increases, we always have better Catholics. We have people that love our Lord more. And isn't that what it's all about? So in a sense, I can't be preaching about Our Lady too much. She will always take us to Christ. I did come across a detailed description of the miracle of the sun. And so that's what I would like to share with you today. And this is from a lecture given by a Peter Chonosky. And this was given, I think, within the last couple of years. And he went through a detailed explanation of that. And I'm sure we've heard about it in general. We've probably seen the movie on Our Lady of Fatima. And I think it's very well done, that one that was released in the early 1960s. It really feels like you're there seeing that miracle happen. But let's listen to the historic facts regarding this. We know without any doubt that 70,000 people were there. And that's about the size of a football stadium filled with people. There was no possibility of a collusion among witnesses, because how could all 70,000 people know each other? Impossible. And they all reported the same thing. Many of them came to mock and to scoff. Remember, Portugal at that time had undergone a Freemasonic revolution. The government was very hostile to Catholicism. Bishops, priests, religious were sent to jail and worse. There was persecution going on. Remember how the mayor of Aurem had seized the three Fatima children and told them he would boil them in oil if they didn't tell him the secret that Our Lady had told them. So we're talking about a lot of hostility, a lot of witnesses that were there to witness what they thought would be a non-event, and would they ever be able to ridicule the Catholic Church for this one? The Portuguese historian Leopold Nunez, who was present, says, "At the moment of the great miracle, there were present some of the most illustrious men of letters in the arts and the sciences, and almost all were unbelievers coming out of curiosity, led by the prediction of the seers. Even the minister of education of the Masonic government was there." I'm going to skip over a lot of this because we don't have the time. But we know on October 12th, thousands and thousands of people were heading for this spot. It was pouring rain. The dirt roads were a quagmire. People were slogging through mud. And it was, I'm sure they were all feeling very miserable. And where were they all going to be? Out in the open all night long. How could you even set up a tent? How could you stay dry? It was going to be one miserable evening for thousands upon thousands of people. I'm again from an eyewitness, men and women for the most part barefoot, the latter carrying their shoes and bags on their heads, while the men lean on thin sticks, and they're also prudently armed with umbrellas. Apparently indifferent to what is going on around them, they do not seem to notice the countryside nor their fellow travelers, but murmur the rosary as they go, immersed in thought. A woman recites the first part of the Ave Maria, and immediately her companions continue the second part in chorus. They move rhythmically and rapidly in order to reach the place of the apparitions by nightfall. Here they will, under the stars, they will sleep, keeping the first and best places near the little tree. So they thought they were going to be under the stars. They were under the rain clouds is what really happened. Now the miracle had been promised to occur at noon. This is a very interesting detail. What amazes us about the miracle of the sun is the specificity of Our Lady. Just as God himself is so specific in all that he does, God does not create, sustain, or guide the general. Our Lady said in July of 1917 that she would perform a miracle at midday on October 13th. But it was now afternoon. It was 1:30 in the afternoon, and no miracle had happened. Did Our Lady fail? Did she misread God's will? Here it is necessary to say that the Portuguese government, due to its belligerency with France and Britain during World War I, decided that the clocks were to be set 90 minutes ahead so that Portugal would be in the same time zone as her fellow belligerents. So on October 13th, 1917 in Portugal, 1:30 p.m. was actually midday. Isn't that interesting? Our Lady wasn't going to follow the time set by the Masonic government. She was going to follow true sun time. So, of course, her word was accurately fulfilled. Now, even some of the religious folks, even some of the priests there, were very skeptical. One priest was saying, it's 1:30, Our Lady hasn't come yet. Are we really to believe what's going on? So this is what now began at 1:30 in the afternoon. At 1:30 precisely, and this is an eyewitness saying, the sky which had been overcast all day suddenly clears up. The rain stops, and it looks like the sun is about to fill with light the countryside that the wintry morning had made so gloomy. This sudden change of weather surprised all of the witnesses. Just immediate change from rain to clearing, and now people could look directly at the sun. It wasn't obscured by a haze or by clouds. The clouds had parted. Now everybody was looking at the sun. Everyone could look directly and without wincing or closing their eyes. No one needed to turn away. This is what the editor of the secular newspaper says. Then they saw a unique spectacle, an unbelievable spectacle for anyone who did not witness it. From the road, one could see the immense multitude turn towards the sun, which appeared free from clouds and in its zenith. It resembles a dull silver disc, and it is possible to look at it without the least discomfort. And this was apparently visible as far away as 30 miles. So it wasn't just the 70,000 people there. Now, what happened to the sun, as people are looking at it, it begins to gyrate. Some called it dancing through the sky, spinning, throwing off colors of every description. A kaleidoscope of light was now happening before them. An eyewitness adds, the sun's disk did not remain immobile. This was not the sparkling of a heavenly body, for it spun round upon itself. It made a whirl. It spun like a fire wheel, taking on all the colors of the rainbow. It looked like a ball of snow revolving upon itself. So they're seeing all the colors, and it was a light show of the greatest proportions. Probably nothing on earth could even begin to be similar to it. This was a miracle. The sun just doesn't do this. We know. A miracle was happening, and it took about 10 minutes for this entire sequence of events. And now the sun, after spinning and gyrating and dancing through the sky, now began to fall right down on top of everybody. Suddenly one heard a clamor, a cry of anguish breaking from all the people. The sun, whirling wildly, seemed to loosen itself from the firmament and advance threateningly upon the earth as if to crush us with its huge and fiery weight. The sensations during these moments were terrible. Many were confessing their sins aloud and crying to heaven for mercy. Parents were throwing themselves protectingly over their children. Some tried to run from the fire. Many were just paralyzed with fear. Even though many thousands were expecting imminent death and were making their final preparations for that event, the miracle was not the end, but a warning and an indication of the mercy of God and the intercessory power of the Mother of God. Because the sun, after threatening them, went back to its normal place in the sky. I would have just loved to see some hardened anti-clerical person. Oh my God, have mercy on me. Oh my God, have mercy on me. I would have loved to see that conversion, wouldn't you? Of course, we would have been beating our breasts as well, wouldn't we? Making sure we're making an act of perfect contrition. It felt like one was just a moment away from eternity. But the miracle wasn't over yet. There was one more thing. After the sun had climbed into the sky and people were beyond elated and overjoyed that they hadn't all died, they looked at themselves and their clothes were completely dry. Miraculously. So this is the miracle of the sun, my dear parishioners. It was something obtained by Our Lady's intercession. It was worked by the power of God. And it was to establish with absolute certainty that the Mother of God came with a message for mankind, especially for Catholics. She came with a message of peace for the world. Pray the rosary for peace in the world. I have come to ask men to amend their lives. They must cease from offending God. Are we listening to that message? Right now, let's ask ourselves, let's examine our consciences. Are we really responding as we ought to our Heavenly Mother? Remember that God has sent the best prophet of all. Well, apart from his Son, Jesus Christ, of course, God himself is a prophet as well. But after Jesus Christ, his greatest messenger ever was his own mother. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, these are These are frail men, holy, but still sinners. This is the sinless one. This is the all-holy Mother of God. Not infinite, but God's own messenger. Are we responding as we should? Do we really believe in her message? True, we haven't seen the miracle of the Son. We didn't see the miracles worked at Fatima and at Lourdes. Perhaps we have. But remember what Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." There's more merit in believing when you don't see a miracle firsthand. But of course, we witnessed a miracle by historical account. 70,000 is a lot of witnesses. So let us respond. Let us pray. Let us do penance. Let us offer the sacrifice of our daily duty. Let's offer that communion of reparation on first Saturdays. Let's pray the rosary every day. And if I may add the words, the famous words of Father Peyton, Father Patrick Peyton in his rosary crusade, the family that prays together stays together. My dear brethren, so many of your family issues and problems will be worked out if you pray the rosary together. But if you don't, you're going to have struggles and problems that don't need to really be there. Yes, there will always be some. It's an imperfect world. We do have to carry our cross. But how many can be worked out better through prayer? That's our failing, is it not? How many families in our parish, I wonder, pray the rosary together on any consistent basis? And that's the only way children are going to learn to have it instilled into them. It has to start with the family praying it together. And remember, there's always much more merit praying together than praying separately. St. John Marie Vianney says, put a bunch of straw together. You'll give much more flame and heat and light than if you lit those pieces of straw individually. It's always good to pray, of course, but don't forget the value of prayer together. And parents, don't just limit yourselves to the rosary and grace before meals. Pray morning and night prayers with your children, even if they're short. Better to have something short than nothing at all. You know, and you can, besides prayer, maybe take the Holy Scripture or True Devotion or some other a meditation book and read a short meditation to the kids. Put a couple of good thoughts, spiritual thoughts in their minds in the morning when you gather with them in prayer. You'll be bonding with them. They'll go forth and take on the day much more equipped and spiritually prepared if they can have at least a few moments of prayer together with their parents in the morning, and of course some moments of prayer together in the evening. So, my dear brethren, I just had to share this eyewitness account of the miracle of Fatima so it can just be more real to us. And if it's more real to us, then we will be more, I'm sure, inclined and inspired to respond to our Heavenly Mother who came with a most important message in 1917. Our Mother came for her children. And let's listen carefully and follow through. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.